Blog Talk Radio.
Delving this in further on this evening.
because we have to understand that these are not the words of Brother Miles. It is written. And so all we got to do is believe what is written and go by that. On this morning we read that we were not to send somebody up to heaven to get it or send somebody across the ocean to get it. He said the word is nigh thee. It's near you, even in your mouth. Okay, and it's the word, it's his commandment, his Torah. So we are going to continue in this on this evening. I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles, and we are going to go ahead and do, well, before we do our statement of faith, I want to say yesterday at the farmer's market, finally had our first EBT sale. I needed to do one in order to keep the machine. After I got the machine, you know, people who said they were going to do them, either I stopped seeing them at the market or what have you. And then yesterday, the person, one of the people said, yeah, I got my card today. And she ordered like $21 worth of microgreens, but she wants to do a subscription. And so that's good. We are continuing to advertise and we'll continue to market to that. Hopefully, we can do this and find a farmer's market that's in a less affluent area, because the problem is that the areas that I'm in, you know, all these people have money, and so they're not doing, you know, that type of thing. You know, we pray that the Most High allows us to go into an area where it is less affluent. People need to eat good too, whether they have money or not, and that's what the SNAP and EBT program is all about. That being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are on the African continent, whether you are in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries that listen to this ministry, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let us turn toward the east, and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. And we just extol thee, oh Father, we extol thee, we extol thee, we lift you up, Father, and we magnify you before men. And Father, let our lives reflect you, Father, and let us give you glory and honor and praise. Let us bring you glory and honor and praise, Father, and we will not bow down to another, but to you alone, for you alone are Elohim, and there is no other. And Father, so we just want to thank you on today, and we just want to choose life on today. We want to choose life. And I want to choose death, Father. Show us life that we may choose it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture for today, let's go to John chapter 14. And let's look at verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar for the ending of the Shabbat.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Follow you, Yahushua. It is written. me just read. They really want to empty your pocket,
empty your pocket.
Telling you that you will be blessed.
Ooh, what a lie.
Asking you to give them your
land.
Woe to them lying creatures. Woe to them pagan worshippers. Woe to them Christian deceivers. They telling you that you ain't the people.
I used to be, no, no, no. I'ma change my life, I'ma do things.
He, Elohim, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The one that gave us the commandments is the one that came into the world. And he states in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 15 and verse 10. The book of John chapter 15 and verse 10. In the word of the Most High read. As soon as I get there. 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Huh? If you keep my commandments, I will love you. That's what he's saying. You shall abide in my love. I shall love you. You shall be in my love. You shall be in my heart. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you want to be loved by the Most High? You want to be loved by Messiah from that position? It says, if you keep my commandments. So if you don't keep his commandments, the opposite is true. You don't abide in his love. We got to understand that. If we don't do what he says to do, then we don't abide in his love. He doesn't love us. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Now let's get verse 17. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of Elohim. That's who the dragon is coming against. That's who the Antichrist is coming against. The ones that keep the commandments. Because he don't have to come against the ones that don't. They already belong to him. They just don't know it. So the ones that Antichrist is going to attack are those that are keeping the commandments of the Most High. You ain't got nothing to fear from him if you're not keeping them. Because he knows that you're already with him. Even if you say something against him, you're with him. Because you're not keeping the commandments of the Most High. And have the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach. So those that say they keep the commandments, but they don't believe in Messiah, he's not with them. Because you got to believe in Messiah as well. Those that believe in Messiah and not keeping the commandments, he's not with them. He said clearly, if you keep my commandments, and the dragon is coming to make war with those people who keep the commandments of Elohim and have the testimony of Messiah. Go to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. So let's go to verse 1 in this chapter. Revelation 14, let's start in verse 1. In the word of the Most High read, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with woman or women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto Elohim and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. So every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead and in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Verse 12. And here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. This is telling us all the way through, the Most High didn't do away with his commandments, his laws. When the church is teaching, you're not up under the law. You save by faith through grace. They clearly don't understand those terms. They have not put it together. We ain't under his law. But that's not what it's really saying when the Most High reveals the truth to you. Verse 13. So the ones that keep the commandments of Elohim and have faith in Yeshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yah from henceforth. Blessed are they that die in him, because they're going to be dying for his name. And they're going to be dying because they keep the commandments. Okay? Those that don't keep his commandments, they're not going to die for him. They're not going to do it. They don't have that relationship. They don't have that dedication. Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So we know that in Romans chapter 8, he tells us that if we want to receive the inheritance, we got to suffer with Messiah. And if we want to rule with him, then we're going to be persecuted and killed, not necessarily crucified, but beheaded, shot. You're going to die, okay, for his name's sake and for the word of Elohim. But you're only going to do this if you're in truth and you're keeping his commandments. And I don't even believe that you can actually see what's coming unless you're doing that. Because Messiah said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in these last days. And when we read what else Messiah said, he said, hey, they weren't warned. They weren't given a warning. They didn't know what was happening until it came upon them. It's going to be the same way in the last day. People, he's not going to give a warning. People looking for all these signs, they're not going to know it until destruction comes. That's why people keep trying to predict the end, and every time they try to predict it, it don't happen. It's just going to come suddenly, like a thief in the night. And you're going to know about what time it is, but you're not going to know exactly when. And you got to be ready. But it's not going to be a warning. So just like they were giving in marriage and going about life, like, you know, tomorrow's going to come just like yesterday came. Noah did not warn them that the flood was coming. Noah preached. That he was a preacher of righteousness. So that tells us that he was preaching to keep the law. Turn to Elohim and keep the law. He didn't say, hey, there's a flood coming. There's going to rain. says that they didn't know it until it was upon them. So shall it be in the last day. So, you know, when all these people are trying to make predictions and, you know, telling us, oh, the last day is going to be at this time, Messiah said, you ain't going to know. Walk the walk. Stay faithful. He that stays faithful and endures unto the end shall be saved. Not he that can predict the day and the hour and the time, because no man knows that. Okay. So in the last days are those that die in his name. And they're going to be the ones that are keeping the commandments. That's why you're going to be killed. Those that are not keeping the commandments, they are going to conform with the world because they already are. You know, that stuff is old. This is today. This is right now stuff. I need to do what I need to do to survive. And they're going to be taken suddenly. Destruction. Okay, so we got to know to keep his commandments and to stay faithful. Telling us all the way through the book. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. The book of Revelation chapter 22. And let's start in verse 1. Get the context. Verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. So the tree of life wasn't just on one side. The tree of life was on both sides. Read that again. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river. So this is actually in three places. The tree of life is on both sides of the river, coming out of the throne of the Most High, and in the middle, in the midst of it. Which bear 12 manner of fruit and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For Yah Elohim giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is the final kingdom. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And Yah Elohim of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the thing shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Now, people read the feet of the angel, which showed me these things, and they believe that it's a heavenly angel. So let's see what he said. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. John, don't do that. Why? For I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren of the prophets. This is a man. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship Elohim. It's the messenger, but it's a human messenger. Okay? And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand. He that is just, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. According to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Not those that don't do his commandments. They ain't going to have no right to the tree of life. They're not even getting into the kingdom in this way. They're going to go to the into the kingdom, into the lake of fire. You got to keep his commandments. And may enter into the gates of the city, into the city. For without or outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. These are sinners outside of the holy city, because the lake of fire is around the holy city. Everybody coming to Jerusalem got to look down on them that are in the lake of fire. That's who the dogs and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, and everyone else, all other sinners who didn't repent, who didn't keep the commandments. That's what's outside the city. Okay. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 9. Okay, now, this in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, he is a proselyte, okay? And he's a Gentile. And he wants to know, you know, I pay my alms, I keep the laws, the commandments, I take care of the poor. What more do I need to do? And this angel appears to him and tells him to send to Joppa for Peter. And he'll tell you what you need to do. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. This would be about noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So they're about to make the noonday meal. Peter was very hungry, and he would have went ahead and ate, but the food wasn't ready. And while they were preparing it, he falls into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down onto the earth, wherein are all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and the fowl of the air. Now, we know from reading this, you won't be able, only thing that tells you that these are unclean things, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're unclean, because these creeping things could have been grasshoppers or locusts, and grasshoppers and locusts by the law are lawful to eat. Okay? So four-footed beasts of the earth don't say unclean. Wild beasts don't say unclean. Creeping things don't necessarily say unclean. And fowls of the air doesn't necessarily say unclean. But we got to be told what it is. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, master or Lord. I never have eaten anything that is common or unclean. So we know that these are unclean animals that he's being shown. Okay? And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what Elohim has cleansed, that call not thou common. If the Most High tells you to go eat it, don't you say no. This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter, now he's been told, you know, to get down and kill and eat these unclean animals. And now he's pondering this thing. Did I just see what I just saw? Did I just hear what I just heard? Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Is Peter staying here? While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Why are you here? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears Elohim, of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from Elohim by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee, to hear from you. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. Now, isn't it the same thing that happened to John in Revelation? Don't do that, John. Now, Cornelius is trying to worship Peter, okay? And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And as he said unto them, You know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man that a Most High showed him these unclean animals. But Peter got the message. Some unclean Gentiles are down there knocking on your door. Don't fear anything. Go with them. So Peter understands that these unclean animals were used as examples of the Gentile nation. So he knew that he was not to call any man common or unclean. Not food. Even if the Most High said, you know, if I make the food, if I tell you to eat it, it's not common anymore. You can eat it. But he was really talking about men. And people take that those verses, try to say that they can eat whatever they want to eat. Had nothing to do with that. It was a symbol and a parable, a fable almost, to get Peter to understand, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And for you, it is unlawful for you to go among them. It was even unlawful for him to actually house them in his house. He had gotten the message that night, or before he came down off the roof. He knew. Because, you know, he'd have been like, hey, y'all Gentiles, y'all can't stay here. We're not supposed to mix with y'all. We're not supposed to come to a house of one of another nation. Okay? So he understood what the Most High was telling him through those animals. Therefore came I unto you, gang, saying, as soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, what intent have you sent for me? Asking the question again, why are you sending for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of the Most High. Give me a second here. Let me scroll my screen. Okay. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked her for what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at that night before I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. So it was the law. Peter is stating in verse 28, the law is, I'm not supposed to come to one of another nation. That was the law. He had told Israel always, don't mix with the nations. Peter was keeping that. But the Most High said, now I want you to go to these other nations. So they were keeping the laws, They were keeping the commandments. Those disciples that he chose in the laws and the commandments. So we have to understand that it is Yah that determines what is clean and what is unclean. He has determined that there are animals that are clean for us to eat and there's animals that are unclean for us. Animals that are for his people and animals that are not. And he says now, in relating this to men, there are people that we were told we weren't to go around. There was a law. And Peter is stating that law in verse 28. We're not to call any man, Jew or Gentile, common or unclean. Because, you know, we got some Hebrews that still go by those doctrines, say the Gentiles, and there's this and that, there's that. But according to the word of the Most High, we're not supposed to say that they are unclean. And we're supposed to go to them. It's the commandment to go to them. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 11. And let me see if I want anything before that. Okay, start in verse 8. First Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. We're not supposed to be thinking different stuff. Be of one mind. We're supposed to have one understanding. You're not entitled to your understanding, and I'm entitled to my understanding. Our understanding has to come from the Ruach, and it can't be different. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew or eschew evil. Let him hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace through it. Okay, and this is on the bottom of my email. Hold on. I'm in the middle of a lesson, Brother Gary. Okay. All right, shalom. Where was I at? Let him eschew evil, hate evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And so we have to seek peace and pursue it. Peace, where the eyes of Yah are over the righteous, are open unto their prayers, to the righteous, the lawful, and their prayers. But the face of Yah is against them that do evil. To willfully sin, he says, is evil. It's actually the actual true meaning of blasphemy is to knowingly sin. That's blasphemy. To know something is sinful and do it. That's what he says is blasphemy. Okay? If anybody didn't have the definition, here's the definition. Okay. So in verse 11, we are to hate evil and pursue peace. We got a lot of brothers want to go to war, want to do this, want to do that. The Most High, I didn't tell you to do that. When I come, I will make war. What I want you to do is make peace. Go to Judges chapter 17. The book of Judges chapter 17. Because this is what's going on today. And I did a separate precept on this. But this is true. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we got that going on today under liberty. You're free to think whatever you want to think. And you're free to do whatever's right in your own eyes. And that's what's happening today. Instead of going by what the Most High says, everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. This has always been an issue with Israel. Because if you say you follow the Most High, then you got to do what's right in his eyes. But when you do what's right in your own eyes, you might be convinced of some things that the Most High is totally against. But it seems right to you. So you do it. Sometimes people just don't care. Don't care what it says. I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. Okay? Go to Judges chapter 21. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Again, he reiterates, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. This is a problem. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Because let's see, when you do what's right in your own eyes, let's see what the scripture calls it. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. A fool will look at what he thinks is right in his own eyes. This is what was going on in Israel. The Most High is saying, hey, Israel, y'all acting a fool. Y'all not keeping my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my judgments. You doing what's right in your own eyes. You're being foolish. 21, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yah ponders the heart. So, you know, the vast majority of the time we're doing what we're doing because it's right, seems right to us to do it. But you got to do what Yah says to do. You got to align it with what he says. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. In verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. Now this is when they first came out of Egypt. And they are getting ready, or they've gone into the, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And the Most High tells them, do what I tell you to do. Don't add to it or take away from it. Do exactly what I tell you to do. Verse 8, you shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Do what Yah says to do. Because this is a constant theme through history, through time, even today. People want to do what's right in their own eyes. Don't matter what Yah says. This is what I think. This is how I feel. Okay? So we can't do that. We can't do what's right in our own eyes. We have to do what he says is right. So the next few verses we're going to read, we're going to read what Yah has set in his law of the commandments. Go to Romans chapter 14. The book of Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Somebody that's weak in the faith, receive them. but not to doubtful dispute. See, when people start talking about what they think rather than what does the word say, what they're allowed to do, if it's contrary to what the word of Yah says, then the only thing you can say, okay, well, maybe Yah is giving you something to do that's separate from what he gave everybody else to do. I never will tell somebody that, you know, Yah didn't tell you that. If they're convinced Yah told them that, then they're convinced of that. But he said, if they are weak in the faith, meaning that they're really weak in knowledge, because they may be believing the wrong thing, just receive them, but not the doubtful dispute. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eats not. And let not him which eateth judge, eateth not judge him that eateth. For Elohim has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Now, again, I tell you, and when I read this to you, I tell you that this is a test. Because this is talking about what other, you know, what different types of men do. And the Most High said, don't judge. They are in the body. They believe in Messiah. But they are choosing death. And the other is choosing death, and they're both believing. And I never thought about that. I thought about, and I knew that he was saying that you can believe in him and choose death. But I didn't put it together with the other things. And so when I read this chapter, I'm like, wow. You can believe in Messiah. But he's already said, I don't change. So if you are eating something or drinking something that you're not supposed to, but you feel like you're at liberty to do it, if it's unclean, then you have chosen to do that because that's what you want to do. I have liberty. Okay? And that spirit of liberty is what trips a lot of people up. Just keep going. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be upholden, for Elohim is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So you read that and it sounds like, hey, whatever you're persuaded to do, it's all right. If you want to only esteem Sabbath, it's okay. If you want to esteem every day to be like the Sabbath, it's okay. But this is a test because Most High says, I don't change. And I already told you that you are to keep my Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath, and you're supposed to keep it perpetually forever. So when you esteem one day over another, and if it's not the Sabbath, that's a problem. But if it's the Sabbath, then you're doing what he said to do. If you are esteeming every day alike, then you are actually being disobedient. Because the Sabbath has laws and rules to it that you can't do every day. You can worship the Most High every day, but the Sabbath you're not supposed to work on. You're not supposed to light a fire. So you're not going to work every day, and you're not going to cook every day. He says, but don't judge them. If that's what they say they're doing, don't judge them. Okay, keep going. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto Yah, and he that regardeth not the day to Yah, he does not regard it. He that eateth to Yah, and he that giveth, and for he giveth thanks, Elohim thanks, and he that eateth not to Yah, he giveth not, and giveth Elohim thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. Keep reading. Here is the crux of the verse. For whether we live unto Yah. And whether we die unto Yah. Most I said choose life, death. But he also makes vessels of honor and dishonor. And the honorable vessel belongs to Yah, and the dishonorable vessel belongs to Yah. For to this end, Christ, Mashiach, both died and rose and revived that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. When we read that verse, we're thinking about physical death. But he's talking about in the end. When everything is said and done, because those people who are dead, they're dead and they're in the lake of fire. They have chosen death. And I'm their God. I'm their Elohim. They say they believe in me. I'm their Elohim. I'm also going to tell them to get away from me. But I'm their Elohim. He says, so don't you judge them. I will judge them. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Mashiach. Now, Mashiach ain't going to have two different standards. He's not going to have a different law for sinners and a different law for the righteous. Everybody's going to be judged by the same standard. If you are a sinner and you die in your sin, he has already said, that's what you're going to be judged on. I'm not going to see any of your righteous works that you did because you died in your sin. That's your final place. And you don't receive life, you receive death in the lake of fire. And if you were righteous, you received life. If you were unrighteous and you repented before you died. I don't know if you can do this on your deathbed or not. But he says, none of your sin, your unrighteousness will be remembered. I wouldn't want to take the chance that, you know, on your deathbed, you can say, well, Yah, forgive me all my sin, and I'm sorry. What do you have to show for that? What do you have to show that you're sorry? I mean, this was you raised hell up until the time that you died, and then all of a sudden you sorry? So I wouldn't take that chance. Okay, so everybody's going to come before the judgment seat of Mashiach. He's not going to change his standard. He's not going to standard of the Most High. And say, oh, yeah, I remember you said you were sorry. You said you repented, but then you didn't stop doing those works. You said you belonged to me, but you didn't stop doing those works. You just said you were sorry and kept on doing what you were doing. He's going to judge them based upon that. If you repented and stopped doing what you were doing, then he says that none of your unrighteousness will be remembered because you turned to him and you did that which was right. So Messiah is going to judge according to that same standard. He's going to stand at his judgment seat, and you are either going to be dead or alive. Dead as in the lake of fire. You got life, but it's a second death. The second death, you're alive, but you're burning. Alive. And you can't stop burning. can't burn up, but you can feel the pain. And so he's not going to have a different judgment. Okay? Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith Yah, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to Elohim. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself. That's why I said, you got to look at what's being said, and people will interpret those verses that they can do what's right in their own eyes. You think this. You think only the Sabbath is holy. Well, no, I don't think just Sabbath, or I don't think the Sabbath. I think any day that you pick, one day in seven, whatever day it is, be the fourth day. It can be the fifth day. It can be the first day. What does the Most High say? So every knee's going to bow to him. Every tongue's going to confess to him. Everybody's going to be judged according to their works. So he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Because you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Mashiach. You say you love him. Don't fight with that person. Don't argue with that person. If they don't believe it exactly the way that you believe it, if they're not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, he says, don't argue with them. Because they're going to have to stand before him for judgment. Don't let us not judge them. But judge, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother to make him fall. Because, see, the truth might make him fall. A lie might make him fall. If you're not judging him, then you're not going to do anything either way. He says, I'm going to judge him. I know and am persuaded by Yah, Yeshua, that there is nothing unclean of itself. And see, this is true. When the Most High made everything, he said it was good. When they first came off the ark, the Most High said, y'all can eat. Everything shall be meat to you. He didn't name any unclean animals to them. But when it came to his people, he said, you know what? These things shall you eat, and these things shall you not eat. You want to come close to me? You can't eat these things over here. They're an abomination to me. They probably stink in his nostrils. But in and of themselves, they are not unclean. They are unclean because he says that they are unclean to his people. I hope we can hear this. To him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So again, this is a test because the Most High is the one that said these things are unclean. But if you esteem and you like shrimp or crab or all that stuff he says is unclean, then let you eat it. And the Most High will judge based upon that. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, if he be grieved with what you're eating, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of Elohim is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. that righteousness is lawfulness and peace and joy in the Ruach HaKodesh. So right there, he tells you, you got to keep the law, and if there are dietary laws, you're required to keep. But if you don't want to keep them, if it's not in your heart to keep them, if it's in your heart that you want to eat unclean things, it just don't argue with you. You say you belong to him, don't argue with them. I will judge. Live together in peace. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, I think the problem may be sometimes, you know, we didn't all grow up eating clean. And we might get tempted. Somebody come around with a pork chop or, you know, a piece of shrimp, a shish kebab, a shrimp kebab or whatever. I like the way shrimp tastes. I don't eat it because most of it is unclean. I like the way crab tastes. I don't eat it because the most I said it's unclean. It's not that I didn't like it. It's not that I didn't like pork chops or bacon. But the most I said these things are unclean to us. So I don't eat them. And even before I even came to that knowledge, I knew that pork gave me boils, so I wasn't eating it except for that reason. But when I found out that it was also unclean, that was just, you know, that was a nail in the coffin. I don't even have the option. Before, when I said, oh, well, you know, I can risk getting a boil. I know if I eat this, I'm going to get a boil and I have to deal with it. My option. But when the Most High showed me that eating pork was unclean and we, his people, were not supposed to do it, whether I liked it or not, or whether I was doing it, wouldn't do it because he gave me boils, I still had an option to do it. When I found out that he said, no, don't do it, that took away the option. Don't eat it. Because he said that it was unclean. That's why he told Peter, what I determine is clean, don't you determine that it's unclean. He never said those animals were clean. He said there is nothing unclean in and of itself. But he still determined that these certain animals are unclean for us. He made that determination. For he that is, let me my glasses back, it's gotten fuzzy. For he that is in the service of Christ is acceptable to Elohim and approved of men. So again, it might appear that this is okay. Elohim has accepted you. But then Messiah says, get away from me. I never knew you. Is that a contradiction? You remember, these are all people who are esteeming things themselves. What the Most High says is not in here. The Messiah says they belong to me. And he can pardon whoever he wants to pardon. He can have mercy on whoever he wants to have mercy. They could have been the biggest pork chop eaters in the world. And he can say, you know what? I'm not going to charge you with that. That's his sovereignty. He has the right to do that. I just would not take the chance that he would do that. Especially if you have a word that is contrary to that. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace. I don't want you arguing over these things. But seek peace. Things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroys not the works of Elohim. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. So he says, hey, if you don't mind eating these things, it's okay. Okay, now I'm going to say this, and then we're going to move on. If somebody tells you, if the Most High tells you these things are an abomination to me, and just like he did with Israel coming into the promised land, I'm going to leave some people in the land to test you. To test you. To see if you will follow after their gods or you will follow after me. And then in the New Testament, there's a test. Are you going to do what I said to do, or are you going to do what's in your heart? Because that's really what Romans chapter 14 is saying. Are you going to do what's in your heart? If it's in your heart to do these things, then be persuaded and you do them. Well, most of us are persuaded to eat pork. I know you said it, we shouldn't eat it, but I wanted to eat it. He says, they are going to stand before him. He says, so don't judge them. Let him judge them. But I just say to you this. James is really written to reveal what's in your heart. Because, you know, I read these verses, there's no way that I would go and get something unclean and eat it. Why? Because I know that it's an offense to the Most High. He said it. Now all of a sudden it's okay. Most High, you said you don't like these things, so I'm not doing it. I know you said right here, it seems like you're saying it's okay. But I know that you taught us, you said that so that you may know the difference between holy and unholy, and so that you may know the difference between clean and unclean. We're supposed to know the difference. And we're supposed to choose life. So I still see the Most High here setting before you life and death. And saying you got a choice. Just be persuaded in your own mind of your choice. And that's what you're going to have to live with. And you don't want us arguing and fighting about it. If your brother say he's convinced that he can eat pork, let him eat pork. If they're convinced that they can eat shrimp or crab, let them eat it. So don't argue with them. But the kingdom is not meat and drink. It's a way of life. But when it comes down to the judgment, he said, I'm going to judge you on your work. And did you obey my voice? Did you obey it? Or did you do what you thought was right in your own eyes? And you were convinced that it was right. You were persuaded that it was right. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. See if I can show you why I know this is a test. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's get verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Actually, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which thou swear unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which Yah thy Elohim led thee these 40 years in the midst of the wilderness to humble thee and to prove you, to know what was in your heart. Is it in your heart to keep the statutes, the laws, and commandments? Or is it in your heart to do what's right in your own eyes, to be convinced that you're okay? Which one is in your heart? To prove you what's in your heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. Now I know Romans chapter 14 is a test. But Messiah said, I don't want you arguing with anybody about this. This is going to prove to me what's in their heart, whether they will keep my commandments or no. Just like he did with our forefathers. So we just got to know the entire word. Whether you're going to do what he said to do, keep the commandments or not. That's the test. Let me teach you right from wrong, and let me give you a test and see whether he's right or wrong. Let me teach you my commandments, and then let me put you in a test, a trial, and see if you will do them. That's why I know that the New Testament in a lot of places is written in such a way to test what is in you, to reveal what's in your heart. And if you never read the Old Testament, you're in trouble. Because then you're going to think that the New Testament is your soul guide and it's the baseline, but the New Testament is not the soul line or the baseline. The Old Testament is. The New Testament just has some modifications, some amendments. And Yah said he don't change. It's like he left these people in Israel to test them, to see if they would go after those people's gods, their Elohim. They would obey and keep his commandments or not. The same way in the New Testament, Romans chapter 14. Let me see if I give them the liberty to do what I said not to do. Let me see what's in their heart. Is it in their heart to do what I said to do? Or is it in their heart to do what I said not to do? That I gave them permission to do this. I don't change. It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead and do it. Let me see what they'll do. So I pray that you can see this, okay? Go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65:1. I think I need to take a nap. And I got to go to Mark tomorrow, too. Okay. Isaiah chapter 65, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read down through verse 4. Sure. Isaiah 65 is future. Okay, let's see what he says he's going to do. And I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. That's the church. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, that's Israel, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. It's not good to walk after your own thoughts. After your own ways, a people that provoke me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in gardens and burn incense upon altars of brick. He said, don't burn incense or make sacrifices on anything that a tool was used. A brick is used as a mold. There's a mold there that you form the brick in. He says, only put naturals in my altar. All these details, he holds people accountable for. Which remain among the graves and lodge in the monument, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Which eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things like shrimp. Or pork, you know, anything that he says is unclean, swine flesh, which they can stand by themselves, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burns all the day. Okay, so the Most High don't like people who eat swine's flesh. But then in the New Testament, you're going to read, it don't matter if what you eat. It's a test. If the Most High don't like it, why would you say, oh, it tastes good to me, I'll just go ahead and keep eating it? Because he says he's going to kill all those he finds doing this. Kill everybody I find doing this. But tell you in the meantime, it's okay for you to do it. Okay? So we got to understand that it's a test. I said don't eat swine. It is unclean. It's an abomination. I tell you don't eat creeping things. People making a broth out of them. And eating it. He said, that's an abomination to me. But then you read in Romans chapter 14, it's okay if you want to do that. Y'all don't argue with them. I'll judge. This is how you're going to judge. Because it was in your heart to do these things. It wasn't in your heart to do what I said to do. It was in your heart to eat your abominable things. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read down through verse 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is my place of rest? For all these things has my hand made, and all these things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembles at my word. Fear me. Fear me so much that you tremble at my word. You are afraid to transgress against my word. That's who I'm looking for. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. This is how it's going to be in the future. He that sanctified a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. But he gave us his ways. Oh, we belong to Messiah, and this is what we're going to do. He said, hey, don't argue with them. Don't judge them. I will judge them. Because they're doing their own ways. But don't argue with them. I want peace in my body. Be at seek peace and pursue it. Only thing he don't want you dealing with is people that are blatantly committing fornication, sex outside of marriage. They know they're not married and they're fornicating. He says if a brother or a sister does that, he says you are to put them out. But these people right here, he says, hey, don't say anything to them. Because the kingdom is not meat or drink. And I will judge them. But he tells you, hey, you use a swine's blood. You eating swine. An abominable thing. I'm going to kill you for that. If you have people killed in the past for it, and he's going to have people killed for it in the future, why would we think that it's okay right now? If he didn't allow it in the past and he's not going to allow it in the future, why would we think that it's okay now? Because that's what people want to do. Do that which is right in their own eyes and not choose his commandments. They're choosing their own ways. So he says, he that kills an ox is as he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb is if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burned incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. So when you know what's right and what's wrong, then you should always choose what's right. Because he's telling you, no matter what. Now let's read verse 4. I also will choose their delusion. They think they know the truth, but they are deluded. They are being fooled. They're seeing something the way they're not supposed to see it. But I will choose their delusion. I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose in that which I delight not. I don't like that stuff. So when you see it in Romans chapter 14, it sounds like it's okay for you to do it. It's a test. Let me see if they're going to keep my commandments or not. To see if they're within their heart. Is it in your heart to do right, or is it in your heart to do wrong because you think you have the right to do wrong? Mosiah says he's going to send his own delusion on those people. I will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them. Verse 5. Hear the word of Yah, you that tremble at his word. Now, those that tremble at his word, listen. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, and said, let Yah be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. And they shall be ashamed. So if you keep in his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, people are not going to like you for that. People are going to say that you're legalistic. People are going to say, you know, all that stuff ain't true. If you fear his word, and embracing his word, transgressing his word, just listen. Your day is coming, and you'll be redeemed. And they will be the ones that are changed. Verse 6. A voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. A voice of Yah that renders recompense to his enemies. Where his enemies at? In the temple. Doing those things and saying it's okay. To keep reading it. Before she prevailed, she brought forth, and before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Keep reading. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith Yah, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith Elohim, rejoice you with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her and rejoice for joy with her, and all you that mourn for her. that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Saith Yah, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be born upon her side, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of Yah shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, I, Yah, will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind to render my anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by the sword shall Yah plead with all flesh. By fire and by the sword shall Yah plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yah shall be many. But Yah, we loved you. We did all these works in your name. Yeah, but you didn't keep my commandments. You didn't obey my voice. You chose death. He's not saying he's coming to comfort them. Oh, that's all right. You tried. You did your best. No, he's coming to kill. It says, and the slain of Yah shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Yah. See, those unclean animals were never good to eat because Yah said they weren't good to eat. He said, if you eat these, then you're unclean to me, even though they in and of themselves are not unclean. These in and of themselves are not unclean. There's nothing unclean in and of itself. But I said these things are unclean. They're unclean to you. He never changed that when he gave Peter that vision. So if it's going to be unclean in the future, why would we think that it's not unclean today? Are we living up under grace? We can do whatever the hell we want. And all we got to do is say we're sorry, and he's good with it. He's okay with it. He'll forgive us. No, he won't. Let's keep going. Verse 17 again, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith Yah. For I know their works and their thoughts. And it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, and that draw the bow, to Tuva and Jovan, and to the isles afar off, that they have not heard my fame, neither have they seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yah out of all the nations upon horses and chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift feet, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yah, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel in the house of Yah. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith Yah. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. There's always going to be a remnant of Israel. And in the future, Yah is going to cause the nations to bring us back. The nations. Well, you're going to kill everybody that's eating swine's flesh and all abominable things. But wait a minute, you think it's okay. You're all right. Because we don't understand that Yah said, I set before you this day life and death. Always choose life. If he told you eating that stuff will bring you death, then why would you choose death? Does it taste good to you? Okay. Let's see, where do I want to go from here? For as of the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. And what are they going to have to do? And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, that didn't keep my commandments, my statutes, my law, my ordinances, and my judgments. Where are they at? They're in the lake of fire. For their worms shall not die. They're not going to rot. You know, worms consume you. The worms aren't going to consume these people. Neither shall their fire be quenched. They're on fire, but they're not consumed. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. I'm abhorring. You know what? Ooh, look at that. Now, when we know the whole story, then we know that Yah says, I'm going to give everybody eternal life. And those that, whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life are thrown into the lake of fire. And if you sin after that, there is no death. There is no grave. Think about this. I want you to imagine this. You make it into the kingdom. Okay? You actually make it into the kingdom. And you think of doing something wicked. And you do it. You don't get a chance to repent. You don't get a chance to say, I'm sorry. You will be immediately judged and cast into the lake. That's why he has them to come and look every Sabbath day and after each new moon, from new moon to new moon, from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. Look upon those men who are in the lake, upon those people, those men and women that are in the lake. You don't want to go there. It's a deterrent. We don't want to be like them, because all they're doing is gnashing of teeth and weeping. They can't even scream. They're in so much pain. So you better fly right. You better stay flying right. Okay. Yeah, we're going to finish up right on time. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. For choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. May the Most High bless you. I pray that something was said to encourage you to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Choose life. Don't do your own way. Don't go by your own standards. Don't do what you think is right in your own eyes. that the Most High says that he will continue to send you a delusion. Because when he sends you the truth, you refuse to believe it or you refuse to do it. Even when you know the different type of way, you will do what you want to do rather than to obey him. Let's play a song, and then we are out of here for this evening. I like hearing this.
There's nobody like you, Lord. None compares to you. We give you glory.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe. And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect.
Brother Miles, happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you all. Have a blessed evening. See you guys on Tuesday.